you know, you can always listen to Psalms or read Psalms and listen to it and meditate on it. The Psalms has everything. It goes through, there's about 8 or 9 authors in the whole book of Psalms. But what I like about the Psalms, especially as it closes, it's 150 books in Psalm, is that the psalmist talks about praising the Lord. Just simply praise the Lord. And after all his troubles and all his hardships and everything that he's been through, it's interesting for me to see that at the end of Psalms, with all the trials and tribulations going on in the book of Psalms, it just closes out praising God. And we have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to praise the Lord for. And he's going to give us some encouragement on how we should do that. He starts out in Psalm 146. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." What is he trying to get across to us? Praise the Lord. That's the message, is praising the Lord. And a couple of questions you might want to create as you go through this is, how do we praise the Lord? When do we praise the Lord? What is the proper way to praise the Lord? Is it just any way we feel like it? No, really, there's a way to praise the Lord that honors God. He says, "I will praise the Lord when?" That's the answer to the question. When do you praise the Lord? When you're living. That's when you do it. You do it while you're here. And does that mean you praise Him when things go not so according to plan? Well, it talks about that too. "I will sing praises to my God while I have" what? That's again, "while I have breath in my body, I'm going to praise God. Do not trust in" what? "In mortal man, in whom there is" what? There's no salvation in man. There's no salvation in following a man. There's no salvation in following the world. There's no salvation in any of those things. You know, maybe before you became a Christian, in so many ways you praised something else. Maybe you didn't praise Him like you know you pray God outwardly. But in a sense, we all have put our praises somewhere else sometime in our life. And certainly we all should praise God because He is the author of salvation. He has saved us from our sin, the consequences of sin, the power and the penalty of sin. That's just reason to praise God. Even when you have back problems, even when you have financial problems, even when you're having marital problems, even when you're just having all kinds of issues in life, the time is what the psalmist says, you praise the Lord when you have breath in your body. And so I'm encouraged by that. You may have thought throughout the year of some of the struggles you may have had and some of the things you have gone through, but as the psalmist does and he closes, he says, "I'm going to praise the Lord. He's the author of my salvation. His spirit departs" what? "He returns to the earth," right? Mm-hmm. Is everybody with me?
Yep.
"And that very day, his thoughts" what?
"Yes.
How blessed" read it.
"Yeah. Is he whose hope is God of Jacob?"
Whose hope is who?
"Is in the Lord his
God." "Is in the Lord his God." "When" what? "Or who?" You know, that's the thing. You know, everybody's in that big thing. Well, what about the Big Bang? What about this? What about that? You know what? God is so big that He created the earth when He spoke it. And we know in the Bible that He spoke it through His Son. He spoke things through Christ, for Christ, and in Christ. And you know what? How that happened, I'm not gonna bait on it. Whether it was a Big Bang or a big a noise when it happened, however God chose to create the world is okay with me. I'm going to just trust in that, rest in that. And He created, but He's not too big that He doesn't incline His ear to us. You know, I think about God, how enormously big He is in the sense that He created the earth and everything in it. And there's creations in the earth, under the earth, in the ocean, things we haven't even discovered yet that God has created. That's just fascinating stuff for me to think about. And we may never uncover it. We may just go on forever not being discovered by man, but God creates everything for His glory. The sea, what did He create? All the stuff in the sea, the stuff we won't uncover, the stuff we will discover, everything that God has created, He's created for His own glory. And then He's let us enjoy it as well. Who keeps what?
Truth.
Mm-hmm. Truth. Who executes what?
Justice.
For the God's for the oppressed, isn't he? He's going to look down upon them and he's going to give them favor, you know, because people that usually are oppressed usually are more humble in nature. Who gives food to the what? You know, the righteous will never seem be forsaken or seem begging bread. The righteous will always be filled. And you know, sometimes even if they go physically hungry, the Bible says that a person that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, what happens to them? They will be satisfied. You know, if a person wants to be like God and he's hungering and thirsting for righteousness, he will be satisfied. Now the Lord sets the prisoners what? You know what? You can take that and go with it too. Prisoners spiritually is what? At one time in our life, we were in bondage over sin. In sin, it had a dominion over us. But now that we're in Christ, what happens? Sin has no dominion over us. We're no longer slaves to sin. Before we became a Christian, the Bible says we were slaves to sin. We were obligated to sin. We were under that power and that penalty of sin. And God will free the captives. Who gives food to the... We covered that already. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Now, that certainly doesn't mean physically, because I know a lot of blind people. I know of a lot of blind people. In fact, when I went to prison this week and preached the gospel down in Macon, just before us there was a service that blind people were giving to inmates. Wow, it's just so cool. And you know, me and my friend were waiting and we were sewing. I said, look, there's blind people. He said, how do you know? I saw the canes in front. They were waiting to get into the prison. And I said, they're going to do a service for the men. I said, wow. And then after they finished the service, me and my friend were going in and they were coming out. And you know, when black people come out, they were coming out. You know, you had to move back. They were coming out. There must have been 12 or 15 of them. And what a blessing it was for me, knowing that, you know, God has put that together, whether they see or don't see, how different it is from where I am in this particular point in my life. But God has put that together just for his own purpose and glory. And I was just amazed at it. There were blind people giving the service, and we were right after them. So all these interesting things are happening here. And he says, the Lord raises up those who are what? That is one of my favorite passages of all the Bible. Especially, he says before that, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Those who truly seek God, that their eyes want to be opened, he will open those their eyes for them. And he says also, the Lord raises up those who are humble. He does not look for those who are proud. A person that's proudful and pride, he doesn't have any need to be righteous with God. He's, you know, good in his own mind. And he says here, those who are bowed down and humble, those are the ones that God reaches out to. Aren't you glad? Mm-hmm. I mean, it came to a point in your own life somewhere along the line where you had to become as a little child and humble as a little child before God. So that's, you know, very encouraging for us that we truly believe. The Lord loves the what? That's when we have nothing righteous in our own self. We have the righteousness of Christ. That means that he loves those who are seeking to be like him. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be imitators of God. I always read that and go, wow, that seems like a lot of pressure to have. But the Bible says, be imitators of God. And we fall so short of being like him, but our desire as Christians is to be more and more and more and more like the Lord, to be righteous, to hunger for it. And those who hunger for it are going to be filled, even though we fall short. Does everybody know how it is to fall short, or am I the only one? The Lord, what does he do? What's it say in verse 9?
He watches over his
children. That's right. He protects them. He supports the fatherless and the widows. You know, we're there. I believe the Bible says, he says, you know, pure religion is those who support widows and give to the poor. We do that. We do that consistently. We teach their children. We support them. We're certainly involved in them. And that's the heart of God. When you see the heart of God, he puts that emphasis on where we should be, and we certainly do that as a ministry. But he thwarts. What's another translation? Thwarts. What? He does what? What's the... Yeah, the last part of nine. But he what's the way of the wicked?
Oh, but the way of the wicked is turned upright.
See? Right. See the difference? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to make... Eventually, the way of the wicked is going to... They're going to pay, one, for their wickedness. Two, they're going to pay for their... forever, if they die in their wickedness. And he is eventually going to get his will, his way. We might think that the wicked sometimes gets their way, and it may appear that sometimes they do get their way, but you know what? For the most part, God reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's all for his great plan. So he's going to turn them upside down, as that translation says. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. And how does he end the psalm here?
Praise the Lord.
So let's do that.
Praise the Lord.
1, 2, 3, say praise the Lord.
And praise the Lord.
Amen. How does he begin 147?
Praise the Lord.
You know, what's the psalmist trying to say? You know what I mean? He's saying praise the Lord. Exclamation mark. For it is good to sing praises to our God. How many of you sing praises to your God when nobody's around? Am I the only one, really? And, you know, we don't have to worry about people thinking that we're off tune or out of sync, maybe in the shower, in the car, wherever you are. But it says right here, sing praises to your God. You know, especially the one I love. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. So, you know, that's one of my favorite ones, and I sing out to the Lord, and hopefully you do too. Maybe you're in tune or out of tune, but it doesn't matter to God. Sing praises to his name. Yeah, I do. Every day, every day. Every day for the Lord. For it is what? For it is pleasant or good, and praise is what? Praise is good. Praise is becoming. Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. Aren't you glad? Who heals the brokenhearted? Don't everybody say something at one time. It's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been brokenhearted? You may be brokenhearted right now. In asking the Lord to heal your broken heart. But it's God who heals the brokenhearted. And he's willing to do that. And he binds up their what? Not necessarily spiritual. How many of you have been wounded in your life emotionally? Am I the only one?
Yes.
Boy, it's the Lord that can heal. The Lord heals those who are brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. Now, this is his power and his glory. He knows exactly, just think of it, he knows exactly how many stars there are in the universe. Scientists, you know, they debate about that, trillions of trillions of stars, you know, trillions, you know, times 100, trillion times 1. God's put them all into place. He knows exactly where they are. And by the way, the sun is a star. It's an average size star. It's 10,000 times bigger than the Earth. And it's only an average size star. 93 million miles away. That's far, but it's not extremely far as it is in space. You know, that's kind of just a real small distance comparatively to some stars that are 100 light years away. I find some of those scientific facts interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all for sharing that excitement. He gives names to what? No, you can't give names to a trillion stars. There's just too many names. You'd run out. No, not for God. He names them all. Great is our Lord and what?
Mighty in power.
Mighty in power. Abundant in strength. Always. His what? Understanding is what? Just temporary? Is it limited? Oh, my. that I, you know, I rely on my own, you know, I rely on my own intelligence sometimes. Yeah, I do, but I get disappointed. Do I rely on other people's know-how and their intelligence somehow? Yes, and I get disappointed. But God's understanding is infinite. And by the way, it has nothing to do with the lesson. He understands and knows every tear you've ever shed in your whole life.
Well, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you feel like that's why he says he is the great I am? It's because he says, like, I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even try to figure me out. You know, don't even try to comprehend me because my understanding is infinite.
And amen.
My way is infinite.
He is. And the Lord right there supports the afflicted. He brings down the wicked in the ground. God loves good. He loves righteousness. He hates the wicked. The wicked will pay for their wickedness. He brings them down to the ground, but he supports the afflicted. I went into a ministry today. I'm starting a hospice. I'm not starting it, but I'm getting involved in it, and it's new to me. And I wrote down some notes as I was being briefed by the nurses and then some chaplains and all the system. Quite effective for me. Impressive. Impacted on my heart. And I kept writing down, I said, Lord, what is it that you want to show me today? Because I'm overwhelmed. And you know, in ministry, when you have certain ministries that you're comfortable with, all of a sudden there's other ministries that the Lord puts you in, and all of a sudden you got all these questions. Lord, what is it you want to show me? I'm looking at 2 pages of people that are dying. What is it that you want me to know? I am asking that question, and I know that I should be listening, I should be quiet, I should be observing. This is all new to me. Why am I here? I know I'm in your will, but is there things that I need to know today? And they allowed me to speak and share my heart for a minute. And my heart was that I know that the Lord wants me to be here. I have a lot of questions, but I know that I don't have to have them answered right now. I just have to be here. And I always say, I've shown up where the Lord has put me, and I still have a lot of questions. And by the way, I'm grieving over what I'm hearing, because I think that, you know, this year I've had some problems. I haven't had any comparatively to the people that I was hearing about. The nurses would go around and talk about their patients, and it was very detailed in nature. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, here you are. You're humbling me again. I thought it was over. Sometimes I think it is, but you just start again. And there's so much I need to know about this particular hospice ministry, and there's going to be a lot of brokenness over this ministry, but I have that excitement and that anticipation that through this learning process and bringing other people in, that I'll get closer to the Lord. That's why I want to be where I am. So sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the who covers the heavens with clouds. You know, I took pictures of clouds on the way home from church on Sunday. I had my camera, always had my camera, and it was this white puffy swirl. It looked like a tornado-shaped cloud going 85 southbound. And what I was doing, I think I was talking to somebody on the cell phone too. I was taking pictures of the clouds. I just love it. I don't know who was driving their car. I think it was on cruise control. I saw a marquee sign on a church today. It said, if God is your co-pilot, switch seats. You know, everybody says, you know, the old saying, you say, God is my co-pilot. People wrote that they didn't have any relationship with God because he is our pilot for sure. And it says, who provides rain for the earth, you know, rain on the righteous, rain on the unrighteous, rain, you know, just this summer people were complaining because there was no rain. And then now wintertime's come and it's rained a little bit much. People are complaining about the rain. Well, what I've learned is, like, you know, the like Moses and the people, they started complaining out there in Israel and in Exodus. And so what I've learned over Scripture and helping, Lord, help me not to complain about anything. Let it rain, Lord. It's raining. It needs to rain. If it doesn't rain, it doesn't need to rain. So everything is fine. Who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the where? Mountains. He gives to the beast of for its food,
okay.
And in the
yes.
And to the ravens which cry out. You know, God feeds everyone. He feeds the animals, the ravens. You know, ravens are not very attractive. They're scavengers. God takes care of those ravens too. And it says he does not delight in the strength. Wait, he was that? He does not delight in the strength of the what? He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. You know what? What's your commentary say on that? Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't.
Verse 10.
It's just no. It doesn't have specific verse 10. It just goes.
Okay, we'll skip over that. Verse 11 says, "The Lord favors those who fear Him." Do you have commentary?
I have one.
What was the?
Because He doesn't like delight, the enjoyment God finds in His people is greater than any pleasure He may find in horses or runners.
Okay, so it's comparatively, it's just a comparison there. Interesting, it's very simple. I got some enlightenment from the commentary. It's comparatively so. He delights in man and what man's doing rather than animals. The Lord favors those who what? And that's not getting under the table tonight. Kind of fear. I mean, have we had that fear in our life before? You ever been scared?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Am I the only one?
No.
I mean, you know, lightning scares people. Noises in the house scare people. Hey, that's the kind of fear that makes you go hide in the closet. And you know what? There's a lot of people with that kind of fear that experience that fear. But that's not the kind of fear it talks about here. Fear here with that is the Lord favors. He looks favorably upon people that look to Him in reverence and awe of His majesty and His power. That's the kind of fear. When you fear God, you want to obey God, don't you? Is that true?
Yes.
Those who wait for His what?
Loving.
Here we go again. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, O people at Five Seasons Restaurant. Praise your God, O Zion, for He has strengthened the what?
Bars
of your gates. He has blessed your what?
Children.
Within you. He makes peace in your
borders.
You know, true peace comes from knowing the Lord. I mean, you know what? Things can be all unrestful around you. And that's saying that your circumstances are not going to change. I mean, sometimes life is that way, but you know what? The Lord can give us peace throughout our circumstances. And that's really good testimony when things are not going according to plan in our life, and then somebody will look at you and go, wow, you seem to have a lot of rest and peace. I mean, you got a lot going on in your life, and you're going like, the Lord has given me peace. And you may have had that peace that come over you that the Lord gives you, and only the Lord gives you. He said He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. You know, God's good. I mean, look at what's before us tonight. It's not wheat, but in comparison, it's look at the food. It is fit for king. I mean, the Lord has been so good to us to give us this. And y'all are just, your mouth is watering. We're almost finished with the passage. He sends forth His command to the earth. Whatever He says, wind blow, sunshine, the word runs very swiftly. Whatever He says, it doesn't happen by happenstance. It doesn't happen by delay. When the Lord speaks it, it happens. Let there be light. He gives snow like wool. I love it when it snows. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. He gives snow like the wool. He scatters the frost like what? You know what? When you see stuff like that, that's why when I hold my camera and I go and I just, the small things in life mean more to me now than they ever did before. I take pictures of plants that are blooming out of season, or clouds in the sky. I mean, God may just allow me to see that little configuration in the sky just for my pleasure, because I notice it. He may, on the other side of the world, give them that little snapshot of the sunset that not too many people see. I don't want to miss those moments, and hopefully I haven't. I mean, I've got them captured on film, a lot of them. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth, what? What's it say?
Hail like north.
He does the hail too?
Mm-hmm.
Who can stand before his what? He sends forth his what?
Word.
Hey.
No.
Who's that remind you of? It does. He created everything through Jesus, for Jesus, and by Jesus. In the beginning, all things were created by Him, for Him. Jesus was what? The Word.
Mm-hmm.
And melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters to flow. I mean, there's so much to say. When I went to the cove, there was just so much. It was just little streams in the woods. And I would walk up and walk down, and the plaques of the scriptures would be every so often, and there were some streams just trickling. I was the only one out there. I mean, I was going like, oh, is there a sound if I'm not out here? Is it trickling? All the things you hear. Is the tree fall? Does it make a sound? It really didn't matter whether that's true or not. What was mattered is that I was had enough just sensibility just to stop and go, wow, this is great. He declares His words to Jacob, His statutes and His what, ordinances. He has not, what?
Yeah.
Dealt with any nation, and He has His ordinances. They have not known them. Praise the Lord. What's he ended on?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. What do y'all take out of it? Is it praise the Lord because of his awesomeness, or I mean, can we praise the Lord when we don't have when we have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich instead of a spread like this? Or things are not going well? Or maybe some of us are just preoccupied and anxious about something else that maybe was on our mind. But still, is it a place in our heart to praise the Lord for whatever He's done in our life? I mean, don't we have a lot to praise the Lord for? And even when you're in the doctor's office, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.